The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Good morning to all of you. Here we are again practicing together in this new way, practicing the Buddha way, with all the changes happening around us. And the first change that I notice right now, of course, is the Earth's movement in relation to the sun, the autumn period that we're in, and the upcoming winter. It calls to mind for me Basho's haiku of the season. Even now, here in New York City, we can hear Basho's words. On a withered branch, a crow is perched, autumn evening. On a withered branch, a crow is perched, autumn evening. You know, the solitary crow is staying here while all the birds are migrating south. Thank goodness we have a solitary crow to keep us company during this time. Also, of course, we have woodpeckers and owls and robins that stay here and join us all winter. And I really appreciate their simple presence during this time of change as winter approaches us. And there are so many changes these days. That first chilly morning, the appearance of chrysanthemums in all the bodegas, and the startling blue sky right now here. Things are changing. And no matter how many autumns we've experienced, I don't know if you're like me, but you tend to go out and forget to bring your hat, your warm hat, or your scarf. But we look forward to this time, I think. No matter how much we may love summer, it's time for autumn. It's amazing what happens as the seasons change, as our great Earth slowly moves through the heavens, its axis tilting, just the way that we'll receive less of the sun's rays. So we are tilting away from the warm sun at this point. And it's looking forward to the cold of winter. We're used to those kinds of changes. We do it every year. And if we are sensitive to the changes within the changes, we may be rightfully alarmed at what human activity has done to the earth and its life. If we look closely at those changes, we may be frightened. The ice that is melting, huge ancient mountains of ice crashing into the sea, and the sea itself rising up. Changes, old forms of life, plant and animal, changing, loss. And although that's going on, it may seem far away, and it seems to feel far away for many people. Maybe it's our inability to witness what is around us. We can notice changes in our neighborhoods, in businesses, in real estate, things that may impact us, say, in the media world, or in medicine, science. But very much we tend to not notice the more subtle changes, the slowly moving changes in our lives. And also, you know, what we fail to notice is that which is noticing is also changing. The eyes that look at the world, your eyes that look at the world, your ears that hear sounds. I'm now wearing amplifying devices in my ears so that I can hear sounds better. That was a huge change for me a couple of years ago. Everything is changing. You are changing. Who would have thought that this Sangha would be meeting in this way, across so many time zones, so many different places, so many people? Those of you who practiced with us and moved across the country or across the world, and those of you who've come during this time and feel at home with us. So you may know that the Village Zendo is moving to a new physical location. And in that sense, we are changing the Village Zendo, including you. Changing our physical address, changing how we'll organize the cushions, the chairs, the altars. And I think this change is really beneficial for the Village Zendo, for the long view. But it's not the biggest and most important change at the Village Zendo. That most vital change happened as a result of COVID. We opened up online, Zoom-based, what we call now, in shorthand, our second temple. We've got two temples at the Village Zendo. We grew our community. We brought new practitioners and also those who live at a distance. And we all sit together in our daily zazen, our retreats, our workshops, our teacher interviews. I see people every week and interview just like what used to be, except now it's on Zoom. All online, all intimate, all verified real practice. And that is the defining, bigger, more important change at the Village Zendo, because that will not go away. That will strengthen. Our new physical space will include, at the very beginning, a built-in facility for our second temple, meaning all proceedings will include everyone who wishes to participate, either in person or on Zoom. So I see this as a fruitful time, a growing time for the Village Zendo, where our village reaches everywhere and offers all our events and activities, our leadership and our support to all who want to practice with us. And, you know, I was a media scholar before I became a Zen teacher. And for me, it's very exciting that this is a monumental change in the way the Dharma is conveyed in the world, in history, the way it is conveyed and the way it is received. Once it was under a tree in India. Later, it was carved into stone in China. And later still, you know, it was brushwork on rice paper. It was conveyed by mouth, by person, by electronics, and now by Zoom. 10 years from now, who knows how it will appear for us. But the Dharma will always be available through the Village Zendo to anyone who wishes to participate. And those of you who actually live in New York City will find that it's really easy to come physically to the Zendo. It's all the metro stops. There's lines that go directly to the Zendo, and it's easy walking access for people who previously walked. It's just a little bit, slightly different direction in Tribeca. It's a few, you know, it's 10 blocks away from the old Zendo. It's not a big deal. Once we're COVID secure, we will again resume sitting at the Village Zendo in person, and as I just said, always online. That move is so right for the Zendo. The space is a little smaller, but I think it really lends itself even better to a Zoom connection. The rent is less, and that ensures our continuation, even when the founding leaders have succumbed to change. Even then, the Zendo will continue and prosper because it's, as we've said before, it's a third of the rent. And the rent has always been by far our largest output. So this is going to make a huge difference in the continuity of the Zendo. So that sounds like very businesslike and disturbing change, or not disturbing, exciting change. But, you know, from a Zen perspective, you could say it's the core of the Buddhist teaching. Anicca, impermanence. A means without. And Nika means permanence or constancy. There's Anicca, as the Buddha taught, as Shakyamuni taught, or is said to have taught, points out everything is constantly in flux. Nothing is fixed. Nothing is unchanging. Our lives, our bodies, our world is in process, always. Why? Why is that such a core insight? I mean, it's obvious, and yet it's crucial. It's about our relationship to change. That's what Shakyamuni was pointing out. How we respond to change. Do we respond with a sense of suffering or fear, of wanting things to stay the same? Or do we respond with wanting things to be really different than they are or how they're appearing to be? Arising as it does out of the truth of impermanence, it's not surprising that we experience what the Buddha called dukkha, the truth of suffering. The truth of suffering. Oh, I look in the mirror, the truth of suffering. If I am resistant to change. You can think of dukkha on a kind of a scale, a range of yuckiness, you know. It can be just a slight unsatisfactoriness. Something's not quite right. Or it can be major distress. As I said, you know, we may experience dukkha as we just see our bodies aging, or how our neighborhood is changing from a quaint settling group to an urban mall, or how our body politic has become what it is now. Or looking at the earth itself, trying to appreciate, you know, the beautiful photographs that Su Yong offers us on the IO group of Greenwood Cemetery or Brooklyn Park. And then realizing the earth itself is in distress. All those can give rise to this feeling of dukkha, this feeling of suffering that arises. So when we see all of this, we might think that we ourselves are just in this fixed state that are observing these other changes around us. But we are on the wave of change ourselves. And we realize that the thing that we think of as ourselves is also empty. It is changing. No enduring qualities. That is the truth of emptiness, the third of the three noble truths. Impermanence, suffering, and emptiness. Three marks of Buddhism, they're called. No fixed self. suffering, impermanence, if we can embrace those, they help us navigate the waters of change. So, you know, you could say that right now, we're very different than we were when we woke up this morning. We subtly change by the thoughts and experiences. Maybe you read, you know, I have this new habit of reading New York Times on my phone in bed in the morning with my coffee. So that experience definitely changes my day. What we think, what we see, what we encounter, what we hear, the kind of day it is, all of these things have an effect on us and change us. In Genjo Koan, Dogen says, when riding a boat, if one watches the shore, one may assume that the shore is moving. But watching the boat directly, one knows that it is the boat that moves. So today, what's on my mind, you know, is I think of that as I think of the changes at the Village Zendo and our changes. When riding a boat, if one watches the shore, one may assume the shore is moving. But watching the boat directly, one knows that it is a boat that moves. Our Zoom reality has blossomed into a remarkable sangha, remarkable participation of volunteers, programs. You know, I might critique the change without noting how I have changed, that I don't experience the Zendo the way I did 2 years ago. Now there are so many new ways to practice together. There's less one-on-one in the cloakroom as we change into our robes and take off our shoes. But there are so many new venues that we're working with. I'm so impressed with the embodiment practice that Joshin Roshi designed for three teachers to offer us. Ways to work with our bodies together online on Zoom. It's just great. And Joshin Roshi's practice in inquiry circle and other workshops where we're having much more interaction than we might have had if you came to the Zendo, you came and sat and listened to a talk and left. So in fact, the quality of our interbeing, as Thich Nhat Hanh used to say, is heightened, as I see it. And I want to, again, emphasize that all the teachers are offering online Dokusan. So those of you who are eligible for that, you're members of the Zendo, please take advantage. We have wonderful teachers that are available, and you just need to look at that on at the website and schedule a time when you can come and listen and participate, ask questions, say things, express opinions. It's a way we know what's happening and how the practice is evolving. So I hope we all recognize that it is a changed me, each of you, a changed you that is looking at the changed Zendo. We're all in Dogen's boat looking at the shore. It is moving, and so are we. And so too are many of the aspects of our lives, who we are, our own lives, and our own deaths. Dogen continues with that meditation. If one examines the 10,000 dharmas with deluded body and mind, one will suppose that one's mind and nature are permanent. But if one practices intimately and returns to the true self, it will be clear that the 10,000 dharmas are without self. You know, there's great liberation in that statement. Dogen is reminding us that if we are deluded, thinking that things are only as they appear, we will think that this moment is permanent and that we are permanent, that our views will not change, that this is just how it is as we perceive it in this moment. We might think that we are the same as last year. But as T.S. Eliot, this is this phrase I know I've quoted many times. I don't know why. It's just so important to me. T.S. Eliot said, "I grow old, I grow old. I shall wear the bottoms of my trousers rolled." You know, as we get older, we shrink and we care less about how we present ourselves in the world. So we might just, rather than buying new clothes, we just roll up the bottoms of our trousers and recognize that we're shrinking. I think of the 25-year-old that I once was. She would be very shocked to see how I am today. My head shaved and my plain clothes, my simple life. That was a day of riotous color and long hair and loud music. Now I'm here. Just this. Dogen says, but if one practices intimately and returns to the true self, it will be clear that the 10,000 dharmas are without self. Parse that line. If one practices intimately and returns to the true self, what would that be like for each of you to practice intimately? Isn't that what we do when we click on Zoom and open the window and turn and face the wall and sit quietly together? Isn't that the practice of Zazen, to practice intimately and return to the true self? Just a minute. Computer's overheating for a second, and there, I got the fan going. So he says, if one practices intimately and returns to the true self, it will be clear that the 10,000 dharmas are without self. This is the great realization. This is the way we can destroy that fixed view we can have, a fixed idea of ourselves, of the Zendo, of our lives, of our career, of our calling. We're able to be alive and fresh and change and move. And that our Zazen, our simple Zazen that we do, does have that real power. And it's not obvious. It's not like you get a commandment that comes across the screen. But one changes. And very slowly we recognize, oh, you know, my attitude about that has changed. I now want this. Move in this direction. Perhaps there's not even that articulation in language. It's just a movement, a change. The artist picks up a brush. A writer picks up a pen. The musician begins to play. Anytime we find ourselves stuck in a fixed idea of ourselves, we are missing the intimate living reality that is always present. We just think of that. Intimate living reality of our lives. So what is it about the meditation practice that allows us to do that? It is the power
looks awesome. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. In Zoom, it's easy to neglect it. Don't do that. Remember that old song by David Bowie, where he encourages us to face the changes in our lives? Changes. Turn and face the strange. Changes. Turn and face the strange. I love that. I think that's what we do in Zazen. We turn and face the flux and flow of life itself. You know, not all Zazen is on a cloud like that. It is the facing of life itself and the changes that are life. The strange is exactly what we need so often in our lives. I want to just leave you with a quote from Dogen about the king of samadhi. Samadhi is the practice of deep meditation, of Zazen. And in Dogen's phrasing, it is definitely strange. Dogen writes, Shakyamuni Buddha said to the assembly, when you sit in the meditation posture, you realize samadhi in body and mind and give rise to an awesome virtue that people respect. Like the sun illuminating and refreshing the world, this sitting removes obscurities from the mind and lightens the body so that exhaustion is set aside. Enlightenment becomes as natural as a dragon curled up at rest. A demon is frightened even by a picture of someone sitting in the meditation posture. How much more so by a living person who realizes the way, sitting motionless and at ease. So, I love this line. Enlightenment becomes as natural as a dragon curled up at rest. Maybe next time you sit Zazen, you could think of yourself as a dragon curled up and at rest, because it frightens the demons. A demon is frightened even by a picture of someone sitting in Zazen. So, I think what Dogen is saying here in the voice of Shakyamuni, as the remedy to our fear of change in ourselves and in the world, is to sit in the meditation posture and frighten the demons away. To be ourselves the dragons that are curled up on our cushions, at rest and at ease. So please, next time we sit Zazen, just begin the practice as a dragon, ready to quell the demons that might arise. I think we can be a little strange and embrace that idea. Here's my encouraging gatha for today. Taking my Zazen seat, I curl up like a dragon, embracing the change, changing the change, strengthening myself for all sentient beings. Thank you for listening.